And as I looked back this past week, I had at least 36 opportunities to get stuck on the wall in either fear, cares, worries, and that whole nine yards. So I think this is a good topic. We're probably wrapping up today, if I can get it all squeezed in today. But define fears. Defying our fears. All righty. So let me start off and ask you a question. Do not raise your hand because we'll all look at you. But how many of you may be in a situation right now today or this past week where you are concerned? We found out that's not the great word to use. Concerned about your kids, concerned about your grandkids, concerned about your job. You looked at your checkbook. You were concerned about that. How about you got stressed out? How about you were a little bit anxious? How about, I'll back up. I had a mom call me because kids have been out of school, what, 2 weeks? Something like that. Seems like forever already, right, if you're a parent. But this mom called me up like about 4 days before graduation, and she was anxious and worried and fret. Is my kid going to make graduation? No, no, no. Going to graduate. No, no, no. Get the diploma. She wasn't doing so hot. The good news is he did. He finally got it all in there and stuff like that. Maybe you're anxious if you have ever checked the cost of college. You might start getting, you got little kids and you're going, how on earth am I going to get my kids through college? All right. So anybody not raise their hand, but could have raised their hand to some of those things. So there's lots of opportunities, guys, to worry about all sorts of things. There's lots of opportunities to be stressed out about the job, about your boss, about your bills. There's lots of opportunities. And the problem is if we grab hold of those things and we stay stuck, you will get stuck. If you're anxious and fear, fretting, sleepless, how about going in a panic attack? You ever see someone go through a panic attack? It's not pretty. They actually literally get stuck. Sometimes you even have to tell them to breathe. It is horrific. So does that sound like the journey God has for us? It is not. So we want to talk about the journey that God does have for us. Open up to Luke chapter 10. That's where we're going to camp out today. Luke chapter 10. Now, can I tell you what Jesus said about worry, anxiety, and care? He had one word, not. Fear not, fret not, not worry, don't be anxious. He was just pretty plain about it. Not. Okay, and yet I had some doozies of opportunities to do some of the things he said not. Now, if you couldn't wake up when Jesus says not, let me tell you what God says about this. God says if you worry, if you take care, if you're in anxiousness and panic and you got phobias, okay, he says that those mean you are out of faith and you're in sin. Ouch! If you are hanging on to those things, if those things are on your life, he said they're in sin. It's in Romans 14:23. You can check it out later. We're not going to put it up. Okay, so everybody say, worry is sin. What, isn't that a nice thing to shoot a missile at your spouse when they start acting crazy? You're in sin. You probably might sleep on the sofa that night, but that is the truth. Okay, it's the truth, all right? So last week we talked a lot about that. If you weren't able to be here, go get the CDs. They're free. Go online and listen to it. It will stop you. It should stop you before you walk into that thing called sin. And if you're in sin, you're not in faith. If you're not in faith, it's a mess, right? It's a mess out there. So today we're going to look at this one Bible story in Luke chapter 10. And I'm believing that it's going to bring light. The word of God is a light unto my path. Hey, wait a minute. Kathy, you're here. Kathy has been taking care of her mom who broke her pelvis. And you escaped because your sister gave you, what do we call it, respite. But good to see you. Go love on Kathy and you know, continue to pray for her mom. She's doing great, though. Yeah. Ha, ha, ha. The word of God is good. All right. All righty. So we're going to go look at this story. And how many of you need light in your life? Try walking around the middle of the night and you bang into something. You need light in your life. Well, this word, the word of God, if you look at that, is light. So we're going to go over this scripture. We're going to go over it verse by verse and we're going to rearrange it, go inside out. So it will bring light to your life. Here we go. Luke 10, starting in verse 38. Of course, I'm not there. I'm in Luke 11. Turn the page. Here we go. I'm going to read out of the King James. I normally don't, but there was one word that I wanted. So I'm sticking on this one today. Matter of fact, I had to go look around for just a plain old King James. I do the new King James, amplified, and you know, had fun. But here we go. Now it came to pass as they went that he, we're talking about Jesus, entered, and the they is the disciples, by the way. So now it came to pass as they went, he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named received him into her house. She had a sister called, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered, and that's the word we're going to dig apart, because it explodes. First, okay, I'm ahead of myself, okay. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her to come. I love that. Bid her, therefore, that she'd help me. Okay, anybody sound like their kids sometimes? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away. Title of the message, if you're taking notes, is But One Thing. But One Thing. I love starting a sentence with the word but. Just so fun. All right. So, in essence, what we have is Jesus and his boys, the disciples, have come into this village. I think the commentaries say it's Bethany. They come into the village, and Martha finds out about it, and she invites them in. Okay? She invites them in to her house. Most of the commentaries that I read say that Martha was a widow because it says she invited into her house. You know, it's my house. I love it. So that's what they say. And of course, we're talking about Lazarus and her little sister Mary, all right? So we've got this widowed Mary. Excuse me, I'm going to get it together today. Martha, all right? So we've got Martha that is busy running around because she's just invited the boys and Jesus to her house, and she's running around fixing, doing the fixings, all right? But then we got Mary, and she is just sitting down at the feet of Jesus to hear him speak, probably talk about his father, right? Probably that's what's going on there. So we got Martha, Martha running around, and Mary's just sitting down. All right, look at verse 40, would you please? Verse 40. Verse 40 says, Martha was cumbered about much serving. She probably went from peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to a 3-course sit-down dinner, all right? I have served people peanut butter and jelly sandwiches in my life because they were only going to be there for a short. Matter of fact, Cliff Brand, who popped in, I was like, quick, give him something. I actually gave him a leftovers and then packed him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich on the road, okay? But we got this Martha, and she is busy doing a whole bunch of fixings, okay? And this says in verse 40 that Martha was cumbered. Now, cumbered has three meanings. If you're taking notes, wow, write this down. It says, number one, cumbered, Martha was drawn away. That's what that word means. It also says Martha was distracted. Been there and done that. Now this one will just kick you over the top here. Cumbered means to be driven about mentally. How many think that's a good place to be? I don't think so. All right. So what was it that Martha was being drawn away from and distracted from? What was it that Martha was disturbed or driven about mentally? And let's just toss in emotionally. What was it? Okay. Read verse 41. Here we go. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. Underline that word careful, or write that down if you're taking notes, and troubled about many things. Okay. Careful. Careful. The word careful, we looked at that last week when we did Philippians 4:6, and Jesus says, what? Be not careful about anything, or do not care about anything, or do not be anxious about anything, do not worry about anything. I like that last word, anything. Oh, come on, Lord, you know this is a biggie. No, anything. Lord, for real? Come on, come on. No, he said anything. So he's saying, don't worry, don't take care, don't get anxious about anything. All right. Number two, the word trouble. So we got the word care. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are careful. And that's not a compliment this time. Careful. And number two, troubled. Okay, troubled means disturbed. Man, these are not great definitions. Disquieted. Oh, yeah, I know that one. All right. Or troubled again in your mind. Okay, these are not where you want the t-shirt on your back, right? So Jesus tells Martha, Martha, you're worried. You are worried, girl. And you're allowing troubling thoughts in your mind to take you away. Okay? You're worried and you are allowing troubled thoughts in your mind. Anybody ever get swept away with troubled thoughts in your mind? I mean, all of a sudden, you're downstream. How the heck did I get there? Ah, just ask my kids. They'll tell you, mom was doing this, okay? All right, I don't know how I did it, all right, but I did. So, now, interesting. So we have her worried, and she's allowing troubled thoughts, and this causes her to be swept away into something, all righty? Now, Jesus, let's back up. Jesus didn't say it's wrong to serve him. And the boys. He didn't say it was wrong to fix a 3-course dinner. He didn't say it's wrong to even not serve peanut butter and jelly or do the drive-through. All right? Because listen, it was a great honor to have Jesus in your house, wouldn't it have been? How many of you had guests in your house? I actually did the takeout, but that's okay. But I had guests in my house. But let's say I'm grilling. I'd normally say, hey, Scott, how do you like your steaks? Rare, medium rare, and we don't do well done in my house. Sorry. That's horrible. All right? What do? We are very hospitable. Or if someone comes in, they just pop in my house, and I'll say, hey, first I open the refrigerator. Oh, do you want some water? Because I don't keep any soda here. Or wait a minute, do you want some coffee? Or I'll make you some iced tea. Okay? What do when we have company? We're just trying to honor them, be real hospitable. Okay. So that wasn't the issue. The issue was Martha was bothered in her mind and started worrying. Okay? Martha was so write that down. Bothered in mind. All right? All right. Now, so I just trying to envision what this would have looked like. So Martha's, maybe she's like, all of a sudden, okay, I just sent the note to Jesus. The guys are all coming. And she starts fixing. Oh, my gosh, there's the doorbell. Okay, hi, Jesus. Hi, disciples and disciples and disciples and disciples. All 12 of you guys, come on in. Come on over here. Sit down on the floor because I didn't have sofas or lazy boys. Come and sit down. Have a pillow, all right? And then she goes scooting off, and she starts, oh, man, I better start up the grill because we're having steak. All right, I'll throw fish in for you guys, so don't eat red meat. All right, so she's got that going, and then she's cooking beans and rice and hummus because she's, you know, they're in that part of the country. If you don't know what hummus is, come see me later. I love it. All right. And then all of a sudden she realizes as she's fixing this and making sure the grill is going on and the steaks, she realizes, oh no, the rice and beans are getting cold again. So she turns them up again. And then she's ready to walk out and check the steaks. And she goes, oh darn, I burnt the bread. All right. Anybody have some of those? Not too long ago, I was baking brownies for company that was coming. I won't tell you who you were, because I had this, I baked them in my brand new heavy glass 9x13 dish, and I pulled them out, and I just wasn't holding it good. The whole thing flipped over on the floor. I scooped them in, threw them in, and put whipped cream on top of it. Okay? You didn't know why there's whipped cream. So if there's whipped cream on top of it, okay. I was spazzing out in the brain about then, okay? That was not pretty. And I probably yelled a few things. It was really Sherry's idea. Mom, just scoop them up and throw them back in. I said, okay. It really was. It really was. Okay. So we got this thing going on, and after all of that, we got Martha, and she's worrying, right? She is worrying. The brownies are upside down. The bread is burned, whatever, okay? And she starts taking thought, and her emotions go on a roller coaster, okay? Right? Right? All righty. Now, five things start happening here. Number one, she's thinking, oh, my gosh, what is Jesus going to think about my cooking? Right? Everybody's like, oh, they might think I'm a bad cook and whatever. Okay, number one, she enters into frustration. Write that down. If you're saying, I'm so frustrated, I'm so frustrated. By the way, I erased that word from my vocabulary last week. I would go, and I thought, what can I say? Don't say that word. All right, so number one, she started getting frustrated. Number two, she started entertaining thoughts, and she started blaming Mary, right? If that lazy sister of mine would get off her rear end and come in here, that wouldn't have happened. It's all her fault. We like to blame, right? I do. It started in the garden, didn't it? All right. So number two, she starts blaming thoughts. And let me think. She starts, she's now frustrated. She's in worry. She's emotional. And she gets into strife. If I were Mary, I'd cling on to Jesus' feet. I would not let go because that sister of mine is in a tirade, right? You better sit at Jesus' feet because if she gets hold of you, you can grab me by your hair, all right? So she opens the door to strife. Anybody see that happening? She opens the door to strife, okay? Hey, it's hot in here today. Nobody's freezing. How about that? You guys, I'm glad you're enjoying it. All right, I see some of you going like this. You always complain it's so cold in here. Okay. All right. Now, let's see. So three, she's worried, frustrated. She opens the door to strife. And then her emotions go, that's number four, her emotions go out of control. And the last one, she starts complaining. She starts complaining. And who does she complain to? Okay, now listen. If this is the Most High God, all right, and I'm meeting him for me for the first time. We put on a good impression the first time, don't we? But if you walk up to Jesus and go, Jesus, you don't you even care about me? There was a relationship already with Mary, Lazarus, and Martha, all right? Because she would have never have, you know, right? Come on that first impression, I am never letting you see. But there's this relationship, and she goes barreling in. Now, let me tell you, when I've had, especially at high, I call them high holidays at the Cashman House, and we just do banquet table from one end of my living room and dining room. And if I have a special guest invited, P.S., I always invite somebody special because we behave better. Oh, yeah. I behave better, really. So if I see my kid, I'm in the kitchen doing all this stuff, and I see my kids just doing, you know, not helping me, and you're my first time guest, I am not storming in there to look like I'm pretty sorry, all right? So I'll go, throw a napkin at him, hit him in the head, all right, to compel him to come in. But this is Martha just storming in there. I'm real embarrassed by her at that point, okay? But watch what Jesus' response was. Jesus doesn't address the incident. If tell my lazy sister to get out here and help me. Do you not care? Jesus didn't address the incident. Right? Okay, you know what? He didn't go, oh, Martha, that's right. You have some lazy rear-ended sister. Oh, Martha, I can just tell you got a lot going today. Oh, he did not sympathize with her. Now, there's a balance to this. It's called speaking the truth in love. And I have been known to just, and I can't understand why you're splat on the floor. Okay. There's a balance to speaking the truth in love. But listen, he didn't sympathize with her. Okay. Nope. Instead, he goes to the heart of the problem. Everybody say heart of the problem. All right. And he goes like this. Martha, Martha. Only thing, I don't think it's because, you know, when I'm doing crazy, you better go, D. Okay. All right. So I haven't found any 2 cents on commentaries on this, but if you were in my house, if you get one call, if you get two names put together, by the way, you get first, middle, and last. You'll come a running, right? I knew when my mom put Davita Marie Gayden, get down here. Whoa. She'd yell it. So here we have Martha, Martha. Okay. He's trying to get her attention. If you weren't worried, troubled in your mind about the situation, you'd be worried about something else. Really? Okay. If you weren't worried and troubled about this situation, girl, you'd be worried and troubled about another situation, girl, and another situation. You know what he just called her? A worry wart, right? Someone who worries all the time. Anybody know some of those people? Do not hit your spouse. But do you know any of them? I call them born to worry. Anybody know born to worry? Well, that's what he just called Martha. If you're not worried about this and that, you're just go find the next pile, all right? So Jesus is saying, this is not your problem today. The burnt bread, the brownies, they're not your problem today. The problem, that's not it. That's not it. The problem is the way you handle the situation. Right? It's the way you handle it. Because guys, every day, if you could just play back yesterday, did I handle it good? Or did I go down this road of worry, fear, anxiety, fretting, stressing, overly concerned, and you got stuck? Okay? So it's the way you handle it. And hopefully tomorrow we get another opportunity to handle it better. Okay, so it's the way you handle it. So he's saying, Martha, Martha, the way you handle these thoughts in your brain, okay, you've let them dominate you. All right? Anybody ever have some thoughts dominate you? Yep, I sure have. Okay, now, Jesus, praise God, tells her how to get out of it. So, Sherry and I think Sherry coined it. She probably copied it and coined it, but she's like, don't tell me the problem. Make sure you got the solution. We're still working on the solution on some things, okay? So Jesus has pointed out the problem, okay, and now he's going to give the solution. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's read verse 41 and 42. And Jesus answered and said, Martha, Martha, you are careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. So he's saying, Martha, Martha, you woman, girl, lady, whatever, you are losing sleep, right? You are fussing and fretting. Right? You are bothered emotionally. You are downstream. Right? That's what he's saying. And he says, but one thing you can do and it'll get you out of this. All righty. Now, aren't you glad Jesus gave you only one thing? I love, you know, I read self-help books. And they'll read, the book's this big, and there's like 75 things to do. And I get probably a couple chapters and go, phooey. Matter of fact, I'll even tell you a story. After Pastor Jack went home to be with Jesus, one of the books I got was the 5 stages of when someone passes away that you go through. I read step 1 or stage 1, stage 2, shut the book and said, forget that. Jesus, I'll just let you in. I was like, are you kidding? Step 1 was horrible. Step 2 was worse. Like, I couldn't only imagine what 3 and 4 was. And this is written by a Christian. But if you want the book, I'll give you the book. So I was like, yay, just one thing. Everybody say one thing. Oh, man, praise God. Tell your neighbor, Jesus said one thing. One thing is so good, all right? Now, obviously, or to me, it's obviously, I think that Martha probably settled down a few seconds in the brain. She probably, you know, when that panic person takes that first breath, okay, I think she settled down a little bit and she's going, okay, I know I shouldn't have done that. Probably shouldn't have stomped in there and went right telling Jesus and complained. And I know, I get a little uptight. I get a little concerned, okay? But read verse 42 again. Here we go. But one thing is needful. Underline one thing. And Mary has chosen, underline the word chosen. Amen. Okay. So, Martha, he's saying, Martha, you're missing one part. One thing, all right? One thing. And that one thing, your sister has chosen. You've chosen not, okay? There's one thing, and your sister has chosen it. Now, Jesus goes on and uses Mary as an example. He says, but this one thing Mary has chosen, so he wants her to look at his little sister's life. Well, he had to suck it up there, right? Okay? She had to go look at Mary's life. That's what Jesus, that's the one thing. Now, she's going to look at Mary's life because it's supposed to bring some light into the mess in her brain. All right? Right? That's what she's supposed to do. It's supposed to show her, when she looks at Mary's life, it's supposed to show her the things she needs to do. Now, it's really interesting. Everything now generation. We want things to fix quick. We want them fixed quick, all right? Now, Jesus didn't do that. He's actually saying, girl, you're going to have to dig for the gems. You are going to have to dig for the gems. But let me tell you, the dig is worth it. The dig is worth it. Now, a lot of times, like I said, we want quick fixes. I see this all the time. There's a healing evangelist, and people go to be prayed for, and they want hands laid on them and prayed for them. That's good, okay? But most of the time, it's a quick fix because they don't want to be responsible. I watched a TV show. I was bored out of my gourd, sorry. And I watched this TV show. It's called The 600-Pound Person. It was horrendous. It was horrendous, and it was really sad. But a lot of times, we want a quick fix. I'm 600 pounds. I'm going to go to the healing evangelist. He's going to pray for me, and I'm going to get healed. The quick fix is you got to take some responsibility. And I watched this heartbreaking story of a girl actually learning. I was like, what? But then I saw her mama. She was 400 pounds. They both need to do some learning. She had to learn how to take responsibility for her life. And it was awesome. It was awesome. Started exercising, watching food, and it was great. So, but the quick fix is, just go to the healing evangelist. He'll lay hands on you and you'll be healed. Yes, but you have to do responsibility. Okay, listen, this happens to me, and I love it when you call me up. I love it when you come into my office and go, Pastor D, pray for me. My marriage is a mess. My kids are a mess. My finances are a mess. And you know what I do to you? I go, come over here, honey, or if I'm on the phone, open your Bibles, and I start telling you the word, right? And then I tell you, you have to act on it. And they go, goodbye. No, people listen. Okay. People listen. All right. You ought to listen. Okay. But what we really want is, Pastor D, just say something abracadabra and quick fix it. Doesn't work that. Okay. So Jesus is pointing, giving her the answer. She has to look at her sister's life, and she can't have a quick fix, and she's got to stop blame game. We talked about that earlier, the blame game, and it started in the garden. The woman you gave me. Do you ever catch two kids doing things? Oh my gosh, my favorite story is Jesse, our friends James and John were spending the night. And the next morning, I've told this story 100 times. I just love it. I love it. It's like a pop-up story. And the doorbell rings. It's my next-door neighbors. It's Zeke, really tall, and Charlotte. And Zeke opens his hand, and he's got BBs in his hand. And he tells me, we must have had vandalism going on last night. Somebody shot up the side of our house. There's BBs. Oh, yeah. I said, just one moment, Zeke. James, John, and Jesse, would you please come down here? They'd spent the night. By the way, Jack and I were supposed to be babysitting, so what happened there? Okay. Yeah. I was like, really? And I go, James and John, let me introduce you to Zeke and Charlotte. And they're like, where is she going with this? You know, I'm just making all fluffy. And I said, Zeke, show them what happened. Tell them what happened. He goes, oh, look, we found BBs. We had some vandalism. Zeke knew exactly what happened. He was not slow to light bulbs to go off. And I said, boys. And you know what they said? It was John. Now, John was the youngest. It was John's fault. And I said, yeah, but. See, James and John, earlier that spring, took the hunter safety course. And you are not allowed to shoot anything an X amount of yards from this and that and that. I forgot what all that stuff is, okay? So they knew, but the first thing, it was John. It was John. We do that, okay? We do that. Anybody do that? Yeah, we do that. All right. So we're not going to do the blame game. All right. So now, I don't know where I am. How about this one here? This is, Jesus didn't say to Martha, it's okay. I understand. If I lived with that woman, I'd be like that too. He didn't say that. That's called sympathy, all right? And he also didn't spell it out really plain. He made her, at this point, she's going to have to take responsibility. She's going to have to be diligent to observe her sister, her little sister, all right? I like when people start taking responsibility, all right? Take responsibility. Start observing Mary. So if you're taking notes, you got to take responsibility, gang. All righty. Now, what kept Mary, question, what kept Mary not worrying? What kept Mary from worrying about all these things? Well, it says Martha was worried and anxious, and it says Mary chose something. Mary chose something. Whatever she chose kept her from worrying. All right? So let's look at verse 39. This is our answer. And she had a little sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard the word. If you're taking notes, I'm going to give you three things. We're going to wrap up real quick here. Three things that Mary chose. Actually, I was like, I was going to give you a whole list. I said, okay, Lord's going, cut it down. Okay, so three things. Write this down. Three things Mary chose. Number one, she chose to sit at Jesus' feet. And I'm going to say that what I would like you to write down for number one, Mary submitted to sit at Jesus' feet. Now, let me tell you something. In the days that Jesus was walking around, they didn't have furniture like we do. Came out, not have a lazy boy with the cup holder and the thing on the side, man. So they'd sit on the floor. Now, if you were going to school and you were going to sit at you were going to go learn, that says the posture was to sit at the feet. So disciples would sit at the feet of the teacher. It says Paul sat at the feet of, what's that famous guy, Gamaliel? Thank you. Okay? He was a disciple. He would sit at their feet. Okay. Now, I'm not too big on feet, but Stacy paints toenails, so she's good on feet. Alrighty. But listen, what it really says is Mary chose to submit to Jesus as Lord. She chose to submit as a disciple, a learner, that Jesus is Lord. All right. That's what she chose, number one. And you know what happens? She chose to yoke up with Jesus. What's that scripture? Jesus says, my yoke is... Yeah. Okay. Worry, anxiety, fretfulness, panic attacks, anxiety, they're not easy. Matter of fact, doctors will tell you they'll start killing you, right? All right, so they're not easy. And if you would choose to submit to Jesus, he says, my yoke is easy. All right. So it's like plain as day. Some days you can go, whoop, this isn't easy. Guess what? You're not submitting to Jesus, the word. Okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right. So number one, Mary chose to submit to Jesus, his way, his life, his words. Okay, number two, Mary chose to place herself in a position, at his feet where she heard the word, right? She heard the word. Now, you look in the Greek, every once in a while I just have fun doing this, just fun. So Monday, I was just screaming, having a great time doing this. So the word heard obviously means heard, but it also means, listen to this one, to attend to. To attend to, you should write that one down. To consider what has being said, heard. Heard, it also means to understand. So what was Mary attending to? The word. What was Mary considering? She was considering what she'd heard, and she was sitting there trying to get understanding of what she heard. All right. So the word heard, H-E-A-R-D, if you think I have an accent here, means to attend, to consider what has been said, and to understand. So number one, we submit. Number two, we sit to hear. And the last one, we make something a priority. Mary chose to make something a priority. Mary chose a priority. Now, when I first was married to Jack, that boy could play. Oh my gosh. He loved to hunt. I'm not looking at Stephen here. Yeah, right. He hunted everything. If it creeped, crawled, flied, flew, or swimmed. Okay? But you know, we were married, and that was his priority until we were married. He finally made some adjustments. Okay. That was, all those things were not his priority. How was his priority? Because let me tell you, we had some trouble in River City a couple years. All right. Especially the boys would call, hey, Jack. Okay. So in a marriage, you better have your spouse as a priority. All right. Or you're going to be in trouble. All righty. Number two, let me tell you another one. How about this? You're going to college. Better yet, you are paying, not your parents, to go to college. All right. What should be your priority? Go to class. Study. All right. If not, you're going to flunk. Right. So that should be your priority. All right. If you are a wholehearted follower of Jesus Christ, you're a believer, you're a Christian, what's your priority? And Jesus and the Word are one. The Word needs to be a priority on a regular basis. I love when people tell me, Pastor D, I got this cool app, the Bible's my app, and I just listen to it for 30 seconds every day. Okay? That's a good start. All right, but I really don't think that's priority, because that's like 30 seconds of your day. What's going on the rest of the day? All right? All right. Yay, Pastor D. That was so nice. All righty. Now, the Bible says to abide in the Word, to meditate in the word day and night. Let not the word depart from you. Attend unto my word. Diligently hearkened unto my word. Guess what they're talking about? Priority. All right. So listen, I didn't write it, but I want to tell you, I'm enjoying it. And you won't enjoy me if I don't enjoy it. I am not enjoyable when that is not the priority in my life. And I'm not telling any more stories about crazy. All righty. Now. Okay, back to Jesus. Jesus, he's said to Mary, to Martha, Mary's choices was the good thing. The one thing that Mary chose was the good thing. Now, everybody say, or the good part. The good part. Mary's choice was the good thing. The good part. All righty. Now, instead of choosing worrying and being anxious and fretting and going spazzing out and being an emotional roller coaster, okay, in your mind, Mary chose to believe in and to act on the word, to sit at the word, to apply it in her life, all right? So, but we got Mary, Martha, she's cumbered, she's distracted, she's distraught, she's drifted downstream, right? All right. So what was it that Martha was drawn away by? She started spazzing out, getting worried, getting frustrated, getting anxious, getting blaming, getting crazy, right? All right. But Mary chose just one thing, the one thing. All right. Now, the word chose tells me I have possibilities. All right. If I've got a basket of fruit, I've got an apple, a pear, an orange, grapes, I've got some choices, right? I've got some choices I can choose from. Every day, guys, you got a basket of fruit and you get choices. But it says Mary chose one thing. She just chose the one thing. And the one thing she picked out of that basket is, I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to listen to the word of God. I'm going to apply the word of God. I'm going to get the word of God. And I'm going to choose to not be anxious and worrying. Okay, but listen, every day I get a bunch of choices. All right? But she chose one thing. She chose it. So let's wrap up right here and say, have you ever said, Lord, I am at the end of my rope. I can't take another day like today. Let's see. I've tried to cast my care, but it doesn't seem to work. All right. Jesus gave the answer. He just says, but one thing. He gave the answer. We have to do it. You just have to do it. Now, I will tell you that, and you can ask my kids, I'm getting a little bit better at this. All right. Matter of fact, I actually am at the point in my life, because I've been doing this a while, that I am not stupid when I walk into it. Actually, I'm pretty willful. I'm going to get into worry. I usually can go, D, don't go any farther. You better knock it off. And the Lord starts telling me his word. And usually, if I choose, I actually choose. I am actually willful. I'm actually in sin. I'm actually worrying. Okay, but I've been doing this now. It's usually like, hey, girl, in case you don't know, you are this close to the edge. What are you going to do? Oh, I'm going to choose not to start worrying about my kid. I am choosing to say what God said about my kid. I am choosing to say what God says about my body. I am choosing to say and believe and act like it. Amen. All righty. Mary chose one thing and it kept her. Let's pray. Father God, we come to you. Just to wrap this up, Lord, I ask you to put a tie and a bow and just send it on your way. But I thank you, Lord, that you, the word of God, let me say this, the word of God says it speaks. And I pray, Father, that this word would continue to speak in our heart, in our ears, wherever we go, Father, that you would give that warning and say, hey, don't step any farther. Choose to submit to my word. Cast your care on me. Let my word lift you up, take you off the frozen wall where you're paralyzed, take you and bring you to the high grounds where you're free, where my blessings are. I pray this for everybody in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 So we don't have any worry warts, right? We don't have any worry people that they are born to worry. Matter of fact, we are born to cast our care and to live free. And listen, when you live free, you are so darn attractive to people because they're watching you. They're watching you when the brownies fall and you spaz out and you just flip them back in and serve them with whipped cream on top. They're watching you to see how you react. And I have people stop me, not because of the brownie thing, and say, wow. And I'll go, it is not me. Let me tell you, it is only by the word and the grace, and the grace is his power to do it. So guys, your kids are watching. Your spouse is watching. I found out one day I went ballistic on Jack and the windows were open. In the summertime, I'm halfway through this tirade of just having a meltdown, and I look, oh, crap, the windows are open. My neighbors were hearing that. Oh, yes, this is the pastor's house, right? Now, we looked at real, okay, but we're real people. Everybody's real, and we're going to stumble, we're going to fall, we're going to brush yourself up, we're going to come under the word, it'll wash us, make us clean, and every day we start, and every day, all throughout the day, I am right with God, I am holy with God, I'm made new, I am fresh, and I'll close the windows. All right. All righty. You guys are blessed going in, blessed going out. Everything you set your hand to, you prosper in the name of Jesus. Have a super Father's Day and a day. Enjoy. I'm going swimming. Hallelujah. Because it's hot in here.